Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. My name is Edgar Lujano, producer for the show and filling in for Cy Kellett today. What a great Monday to be here with you all. Cy will be here with you at the end of the week, but in the meantime, myself and Thomas Graff will be filling in for their first few days. So hang on to the ride. It's going to be a great time. And what better way than this wonderful two-hour lineup? On the second hour, we're going to have the one and only Tom Nash answering your questions on the Mass. So if you have a question about the Mass, that's your man to call right there in the second hour. So hang in there. But of course, this first hour, we have the one, the only, the wonderful Rose Sweet. I told you I was going to introduce you like that, Rose. Author, speaker, life and relationship coach, and the author of 14 books. That's pretty impressive, Rose, I got to admit.
Well, it's been a long time. I've been doing this for a long time. And you know what? You might be my new favorite Catholic radio host. I don't know. Will Cy come back and not have a job? Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
You know, I can't. That's way above my pay grade. But I will say, I just got a new achievement in my life. And as your favorite host, this is great. I'm loving it. Aww. I will say this, not to add a little more, you know, sugar on top of that, but you do have a special place on my heart, Rose, and I have to tell you why. So when I started here at Catholic Answers 4 years ago, I ended up starting on a Friday because my now wife got sick with COVID, so they told me not to come in on Monday. So I had to spend a few days home kind of making sure that I wasn't sick either. So I came in on a Friday, and you were the very first guest of Catholic Answers Live in my career while I was here working in the office. So I remember walking in here and seeing you and saying hi. And it was a great time. I think there's a recording of that. I think I came into the studio during that day. So, yeah.
I remember that day very well because I remember my first day at lots of jobs, and you want to be loving and compassionate and welcoming. And you were so sweet, you know, not to diminish your manhood or anything, but you were great. And I'm so glad it's turned out well for you. Good.
Thank
so here
you.
We are.
Thank you, Rose. And you know, I got to say, this is how you not strain a relationship. This is how you keep a good relationship, not to have a kind of weird and awkward segue, but today we're talking about strained and hurt relationships. So if you have a question for Rose about a strained relationship or trying to heal a hurt relationship, give her a call. Give us a call here at 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH to talk to Rose. I mean, it's what better person than Rose Sweet? So Rose, I have to jump right in. Give me some tips for how to help heal a strained relationship.
Right. It is a mouthful. And we could spend, the next whole week, all your shows diving into this, but let's talk about something I learned a long time ago. Well, my relationships were all messed up in my youth, right? And so it was like the 70s/80s. And I went to 12-step programs to learn how to deal with relationships. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of wisdom and beauty in the 12 steps of recovery. And then I went to the secular self-help market and read every book that was out there. And a lot of it had wisdom in it that I didn't realize was Catholic in nature, that had been around forever. So anyway, I went from 12 steps wisdom to secular wisdom. And finally, when I had my major reversion and came back to the faith and started deeply diving into scripture, I realized that Jesus has given us all we need to know about relationships, and especially strained relationships. So I like to go to scripture. So I think I've talked about this before. I went to the story of the rich young ruler in Mark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know the story that he was looking for eternal happiness. And isn't that kind of what we're all looking for in relationships? That maybe this relationship, my mom, my dad, my friend, whatever, might give me a foretaste of heaven, right? So what did Jesus do with the rich young man? First of all, he listened to him. How often do we just stop and listen to other people?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening really? There. Can you repeat that?
I know. So my point exactly. So Jesus listened, and then he led people to the truth, and he gave them the answer that they wanted, whether they liked it or not. Then he loved them regardless of their response. So listen, lead, love. And then he let go. He didn't take any inordinate responsibility for them. He didn't chase the rich young man down. He didn't give him another explanation. He just laid it out, and then he let the man choose and walk away or not. So listen, lead, love, and let go have been my four words that have really helped me in any relationship problem. And I thought maybe we could spend a little time going on, you know, getting into this before we take calls.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump right in. Let's get to one of the first points, and then we'll go to a break and jump into a call after that. But go right ahead.
Okay. So the first one is, there's two parts to this. First of all, I know people are listening. They're going, yeah, that person, I need to fix that relationship. So we're focused on them. And I'm saying, wrong. One of the books that I read in the 80s was, the author did a bait and switch. And it was like, when you keep trying to wish these people would change. So I'm reading the book. And I'm like, yeah, they're rotten to the core and they're wrong. And about halfway through the book, the author said, but then why do you keep playing with this? And why do you keep attracting this? And why are you still doing this dance? And I'm like, the problem was me. That 50% of the problem, maybe, or sometimes more, was me. So I don't want to start listen, lead, love, and let go with other people. Let's talk about listen. If you're upset in a relationship, listen to those voices in your head. Listen to those parts of you that are crying out, I don't want to be mad at this person. I love him very much. But another little part of you is like, yeah, but he was wrong. This is unfair. And so you start to have this interior conflict that St. Paul talked about. So this is why I like what's going on in a lot of the Catholic psychotherapy zones is parts work, where you're aware of the different parts of you inside that are in conflict. And we need to identify those and listen to them. What is it you want out of this relationship? What is it you really want? Why were you expecting that person to do this? Is this something your dad did for your mom? Or where does this come from? And this goes back to the ancient Catholic wisdom. We know all the saints. So many of the saints have said, know yourself. Know thyself first. So before you're pointing at the other person, what's going on with you? So listen to what's going on. You've experienced some kind of trauma or fear of trauma. You don't want to get rejected. You don't want to be hurt. You don't want to be used. So what are your defenses that you've brought? So, it's an examination of your own interior life. So listen to that and then lead. Let God lead you out of that. Let God lead you to the truth like he did to the rich young man. But you got to listen to him.
Yeah.
So you're listening not only to your own interior parts that are in conflict, you're going to begin to really listen to the Lord and let him lead you to the truth. How's that?
As you were talking, it reminded me of what my mentor told me. He says, if your relationships keep failing, what's the common denominator amongst all the relationships? And it's like, yes, that's a great point. So that came to mind when you were speaking about that, because we always think, a lot of times we think the other people are the problem, but it's actually us, like you said, that need to be healed.
Right. And the other person carries some weight, but if we're always looking out and never looking in, we're never going to find healing or peace. We're going to always be a victim and angry and stuck in resentment.
Yeah.
And, that doesn't feel good. That's exhausting to be in that place.
Yeah.
There's a little emotional payoff to the little part of you that likes to get even, but ultimately it's not good for anybody.
Yeah. Well, if you have a question for Rose about a strained relationship and how to heal that, go ahead and give us a call. 888-318-7884. When we come back, we'll get to your calls right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool and your homeschool co-op, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Alexian Brothers is a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. For 800 years, these Catholic brothers have offered a prophetic and daring response to the gospel. Serving Christ in the sick, the poor, and the dying. Is God calling you to be a courageous disciple? If you feel called to total self-giving as a religious brother in the mission of Jesus, call our vocations office at 847-264-8703. That's 847-264-8703. AlexianBrothers.org.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I love listening to EWTN. I feel like that's one of the sprinkles also that help keep the Catholic faith alive.
I want to say I'm very thankful for the explosion in Catholic media in the past 20 years, Catholic radio all over the country, incredible grace in my life and helped me in my reversion.
Hi, thank you. I'm a first-time caller.
I really love your show
and your passion for God's people, so thank you for that.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm here with Rose Sweet. We're talking about how to heal hurt relationships or strained relationships. You know, I think we all have those, so it's important to have shows like this, these on occasion, and really dive deep. So we have a couple of lines open. If you want to go ahead and give us a call, you can reach us at 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH to get on the phone with Rose Sweet. Rose, shall we go to our first caller, and then we can jump into the next steps?
Okay, that's fine. You're in charge.
All right, perfect. I like the sound of that, Rose. All right, well, we're gonna jump on over to, you know what? I'm turning into Cy here and hitting all the wrong buttons. I love it. Don't tell him I said that. Paul in North Carolina, we have you on the phone there. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Perfect.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Go ahead.
I just had a question. I was listening to a lot of like Thomistic based healers and exorcists and priests, etc. And they mentioned that demons can actually enter victims of deep or intense childhood trauma. And even, you know, if they didn't do anything wrong and they were just completely victimized. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that. And, you know, how can you really tell that that's what's happened to you, even when, you know, through decades of your life?
Okay, well, that's a very meaty question and a very specialized question, but let me give a stab to it. The devil has no power over you. Christ, the church teaches that. Christ has told us that. Unless we give it to him, and I know some people unknowingly have opened the door in their interior life to demonic attachment or obsession or even full possession. And there are a lot of good Catholic priests on the internet now, I'm sure you know, you've been listening to them, who go into this more deeply. But even, let's say I was a 12-year-old girl and I was raped on my way home from high school, and that's a major trauma, and it terrified me, and I was afraid, and I'm damaged by this. There's a lot of emotional trauma there. There's for the devil to be able to get his way deep into me and take like full possession or, you know, something to that regard, I have to cooperate on some level, whether I'm aware of it or not. And usually the priests, and, you know, good Catholic priests who are exorcists say that it has to do with bitterness or unforgiveness or lack of trust in God. There's some little, tiny little crack that the devil can get into. So, you know, it's hard for many of us to make that deep examination of conscience without a good spiritual director or a good Catholic therapist, somebody who can walk you through that. If you're not sure if you have something demonic going on or attached to you at some level, go get professional help. That's what I would say. Don't try to figure it out on your own, for sure.
That's great. That's really good direction. And would you say that it's imperative to seek someone with a domestic background, or is it more, I mean, is there anything you can suggest there?
Well, a Thomistic background is good, but maybe not necessary. God can work in lots of different ways. I would just pray, trust God, ask around, listen, and like I just said earlier, listen to your own interior parts. What are they saying? Do you feel safe? Do you feel comfortable with this person? Does it make sense with what you know about what the church teaches? So interior listening to yourself and knowing yourself and learning to trust that core part of yourself. Who's drawing, close to the Lord.
Paul, I'm going to leave that right there. And I also recommend maybe reach out to your pastor. There's a reason why they're called our pastors at our home parishes. And there's those resources there to help you out. So thank you for your question, Paul. Now, Rose, we were, the tips that you were giving me. So you gave me these four different, kind of step process. There's mm-hmm. that interior kind of work, but tell me more. What else can I be doing?
Okay, so again, for anybody who's just joining, I love to go to Scripture and read with different eyes and see how Jesus did relationships. And these are four steps he took with everybody. First, he listened to people, not to gather information to argue with them, but to really understand them. And then he would lead them to the truth, and lead them to what they were seeking and wanted. And sometimes they didn't like his answer. They didn't like him, but he loved them anyway. And especially in the gospel story in Mark 10, chapter 17 to 22, it includes this beautiful line with the rich young man who have walked away from Jesus. Jesus looked at him with love. So no matter how the other person is responding in our relationship, or they're walking away from us or cutting us off, we still are required to love them. And that means, see them as God sees them. But when you're doing the interior work, love God and let God love you and trust him to lead you to look at your own part and then let go. There's three things I think we need to let go of when we're doing that interior work. Unrealistic expectations. Come on. Can that person really rise up to what you're demanding of them? Maybe not. Probably not. Inordinate attachments. And this is huge. All of our problems are rooted in this one thing. We're overly attached to some good. And if we don't get it, we're not happy. And God says, I'm the only good that you should be attached to that way. So let go of unrealistic expectations, inordinate attachments, and all resentments. The book of Hebrews has a lot to say about the root of bitterness. It defiles us. It hurts us. It hurts everybody. So listen, lead, love, and let go. Do that interior work. Where do I need to change? Where do I need to be led by God? Where do I need to look at other people with love and to let God love me? What do I need to let go of? Now we get ready to take this listen, lead, love, and let go and direct it to the other person.
Okay. Rose, the resentment part is so hard to let go. And I will tell you this. There's one person I've resented for many years of my life, and I realized by the time I let it go how much damage it had caused me personally. Mm-hmm. That it literally caused no damage to the other person because they were unaware of it. But I spent many years just dwelling on the situation until it just completely rotted away at my own heart. So it's interesting that you say that.
Well, it can rot away at your own body. That's where ulcers and cancer comes from. Is doctors have shown that, and studies have shown bitterness and unforgiveness. But let me ask you a question.
Oh, no.
Why were you unwilling to let go of your resentment? Because there's something you wanted, and if you could get it from that person, you'd be happy. What was it?
I think it was an acknowledgement that they hurt me, and I never received it. And I think with the moment I realized... I said my piece to them because I finally saw them many years later and just in one way let them have it. but I finally was honest and I never received the apology that I wanted, but I just let it go because at that point I knew I was never going to get it. And I said my piece and I was able to move on.
So that speaks to the three things. You let go of your unrealistic expectations. For enough time went by, you realized to get that acknowledgement was an unrealistic expectation. It wasn't going to happen. And that helped you let go.
Yeah.
Right?
In some ways, yeah.
So, and guess what? That's our pride. It's like we deserve to be acknowledged. We deserve.
I think what eventually helped me move on was realizing that God's going to take care of that part of it. It's not up to me to be that person. He's going to take care of however he wants to handle it. That injustice that occurred is not, you know, it's not for mine to fully correct and receive. That person's going to handle it, you know, in their time.
Right. And here's the thing. You do get to call it out for what it is, because that's truth. You do get to say that was wrong. Your behavior was wrong. It was hurtful. You get to say that and you get to own that. But mm-hmm. then what you do after that, that's the Lord's business.
There you go. Perfect.
Right.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's go to the next call before this turns into a therapy session for myself. We go over to Brandy, who's listening on YouTube from Virginia. Brandy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Brandy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Brandy.
Hi. Okay. I'm struggling with how to honor my mother and father. I guess like that's the most simple way to put it. I don't have resentment or anger towards them. I've really spent a lot of time in. I know like God has helped me with that. And I'm a newly confirmed Catholic convert. My son was baptized, and we were both confirmed to Easter Vigil. But my family is aggressively anti-Catholic, and but they still just lord over the honor your mother and father. And I don't know how to have a non-disordered, non-dysfunctional relationship with them. Or one that's not fear-based, that if I don't tolerate or participate in the same old dysfunction, that somehow I'm dishonoring them or I don't love them. So just please help. Thanks.
Brandy, I'm so glad you called because this is, I guarantee you, going to speak to a lot of people who are in a similar situation as you are. Rose.
Yeah. No, Brandy, thank you so much for calling in. Here's the thing about the Ten Commandments. They're not real specific. Okay. And God invited the church to come in and kind of add and clarify. So remember what the Jews in the Old Testament did. They turned those 10 commandments into like over 600 commandments. Ridiculous. Uh-huh. And Jesus came back and said, let's get back to basics. Uh-huh. So here's the basics. How do you love to honor a person means that you love them the way God loves them. And that means you want heaven for them, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Brandy, so that's desiring heaven for your parents is honoring them. Okay. Praying for them on a daily basis is honoring your parents. Here's another way that's honoring your parents. If they are aggressive and cruel or hurtful to you, a way to honor them is to not make it easy for them to do that to you. Listen to what I just said. It's honoring to preserve what you can in the relationship, because you'll always have that relationship with your parents. That's a bond that will last through all eternity. Is that you reorder that to take care of your own basic dignity. And if that means you can't talk about certain things, don't talk about them. So pray for them, desire heaven for them, and learn, you know, a good life coach or a therapist or a spiritual director to help you be in relationship with them, so you can be in the same room and a certain topic could come up and you know how to handle it without getting sucked into their stuff. Does that make sense?
So I guess some sounds like professional. Okay. That's what I was thinking because
if you go over to your mother's house for Christmas morning, and she shames you, guilts you, and you get in a fight, you burst into tears, or you go in the back room and throw some F-bombs quietly or whatever you do, and that was it's a horrible morning. I'm going to give you advice that a saint of the Catholic Church gave my friend. Don't go there.
Okay.
You can still love her.
I don't, and we would never celebrate Christmas together because that's pagan in their eyes, but it's...
Okay, so here's let me get to the bottom line, Brandy, here. There's a part of you, there's a little girl part of you that still is attached to their good opinion of you, and you want to please them and love them and honor them, right? And you're scared and hurt. That's where you're in conflict. And you have this nice, rational, grown-up part of you that's like, I'm not playing this game anymore. So you resolve the interior conflict, sit down that little girl part and said, we're not a little girl anymore. We do love our parents. We do honor them. But this is how we also take care of our own dignity and prevent ourselves from getting into a sinful situation. So I'm going to tell a quick story. This is about Mother Teresa, who told my friend. My friend worked with Mother Teresa for many years.
Can I pause you right there? I'm so sorry because we're about to go to the break. So I want to make sure we get the full effect of this story at the second part of the break because music is about to start. And there it is.
Okay, so Mother Teresa is the one that said, "Don't go there." So we'll come back.
All right, perfect. On that cliffhanger, we'll be back in a few minutes. There is one line open, so if you want to ask Rose a question, she is right here for you for the next 30 minutes. 888-318-7884.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the Church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Edgar Lujano, producer for the show, here with Rose Sweet. Rose, you were just finishing up the conversation with Brandy. She asked about how to honor her parents who see her converting to Catholicism as idolatrous, and how does she continue to honor them? So you were getting into a story about Mother Teresa.
Yeah, I was telling Brandy to just, you know, desire heaven for her parents and pray for her parents, but she doesn't necessarily need to get into those conversations or go to events where things are triggered again. She does, you know, even going there is participating. You could be triggering the other person. So sometimes avoidance, not cutting people off entirely, but avoidance is necessary. So this is a true story about a saint, a living saint, Mother Teresa. And my friend worked with her for many years and encountered a person in their organization, you know, the broader organization, that was really nasty and horrible to my friend. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And he got really upset about it. And so Mother Teresa called him in and he says, look, I'm dealing with this person, but here's what I want you to do. And he thought Mother Teresa was going to say, offer it up, be kind, just ignore them, be polite, you know, all the stuff that we hear, just go back and be with the abusive person and just somehow not let it get to you. Mother Teresa said, well, when you know that person's going to be here, don't come. When you know that person is, when you're coming to visit or coming to work with my sisters and you know that person is going to be here, don't come. Don't go to the event. Don't show up. You don't have to, because to come and try, sometimes it's what a burden to lay on yourself. I'm going to go be with this person who like violated me in every way, shape, and form and put a smile on my face and offered up to Jesus. And Mother Teresa goes, no, you don't have to. And Christ did the same thing. You know, two times we know about they wanted to stone him. He didn't stick around and go, okay, I'll suffer. He left. He disappeared. Once we know that they tried to throw him off a cliff, right? And he's like, he didn't stick around for that. He left. He preserved his not only his dignity, but his life. So there are times to suffer and times not to suffer. And sometimes we as Christians don't get that right. So, Brandy, there's your Mother Teresa story. And one more thing, Edgar and I were talking at the break. One of the ways you can honor people, especially your parents, who are very difficult to be in relationship with, is to make sure you do not gossip about them with other family members and friends. Certainly talk about it with your spiritual director, your therapist, or whatever. And as Edgar said, told me on the break, in his own life, he has a situation somewhat like that, and he's asked his friends, I don't want to talk about this person. I've put it to rest, and let's move on. And so he refuses to get caught up in the gossipy, finger-pointing thing that we can so easily fall into. So does that help you, Brandy?
Yes, and but also, I like, during the break when I was like kind of praying, like, God, help me express like truly what it is, like the little girl thing. And it really is like, I don't know if I'm being scrupulous with the do unto others as you would have others, because I don't want my children to cut me off. And so I'm afraid if I cut my parents off or not talk to them or call them, that my kids are going to do the same to me because it's what I've done. And I'm like, am I being scrupulous? But that really is my true fear. And I just,
Okay. Remember Jesus said, fear not. Okay. So don't operate out of fear. And here's what you want to do. Find a way to be with your parents, to you're not cutting them off, but you can be with them in a way that is acceptable and appropriate for you. In my own life, in her later years, my mother became a horrible alcoholic. I don't really talk about this very often. And I couldn't be in the room with her very often. And I cut her off for a while, and that didn't sit right with me. And so my therapist helped me learn to go be in the room with her and just hold back on my comments and my conversation and just, how are you? What's going on? What can I get for you? And if we couldn't talk, I had to be okay with the silence. I didn't have to fill the void. So there are ways of being with a person that has been very hurtful to you in the past or might, you know, come at you again, to set up healthy boundaries and say, you know what, Mom, this has been a nice visit. I got to run now. I'll talk to you later. So if it gets heated, you can leave. So there are ways of being in a relationship with somebody without completely cutting them off. And if you need a good Catholic life coach to help you with that, you could always contact me at rosesweet.com, because this is the stuff I love to help people do. I've been through it myself. I know what works and what doesn't work.
Brandy, thank you so much for your call. We're going to move on because we have most of the lines are full. So we go over to Joel in Ohio, listening on 105.3 FM. Joel, thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this call's probably just an encouragement for other people, maybe, or maybe you have a comment on it. But my, I have family members who have done things that are obviously not okay, and my wife holds on to them. I won't say she doesn't forgive them, but I heard on Catholic Answers a few weeks ago, some people want an indulgence, not just forgiveness. And I thought that was really powerful, and it helped me to understand what she might be going through. Anyway, as it turns out, it really harms the relationship that I have with my family, and I struggle with that, but I give it over to God because I can't understand where she's coming from, if that makes any sense.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of backstory to that, Joel. One of the things, and this is what listen, lead, love, and let go. One of the good things in a relationship, especially a spouse, is to sit down and say, honey, I'm curious. What do you need right now? What do you need out of this relationship? What do you need, and what do you need from me regarding these things? And this is a time where you want to make sure that you don't carry any bitterness toward your wife for her inability to do what you think she should do, whether you're right or wrong. Again, that's we can't make people do the right thing. This is so hard for the people we love, our spouse, our kids. When they're not doing the right thing, it upsets us. We get angry, we get afraid, because we want the world to be good and true and beautiful and right. And when it's not, we get scared. So there's, I think behind a lot of this is an over attachment to what other people are doing and thinking. And I think that's something that we could all take to prayer and talk to somebody about is, am I too attached to what's going on between my wife and the family members? Am I too attached to what's going on between these other people? Where do I really fit in? And what's my responsibility, you know, to this person, to this person? It's multi-layered, and, you know, we can't sufficiently address it today, but I would say don't spiritually bypass. That's another phrase that's become very common. It's, we throw up our hands, we don't know what to do, and so we give it to the Lord. But deep, we're still hanging on to unrealistic expectations and resentments. So don't spiritually bypass, too. It's easy to say, hard to do.
Yeah, 100%. And I really just threw it out there for people that may be experiencing the other side of that, because I feel really bad for my family. But there's another person involved, and I can't control it, and I have to do what's best for the family, so my family.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Yeah, and your marriage comes first, and then your kids, and then everybody else outside the family, outside that nuclear family.
Joel, thank you so much for your call. Rose, I want to go back to the conversation that we were having earlier of the, you know, the tips that you were giving us. You were talking about the interior, getting over the resentment, getting over all that. So how does that translate out into the exterior world outside of this? How does, we worked on it in our hearts, but then what? What comes next?
Okay, good. So the listen, lead, love, and let go. Now you go to the other person and you listen to them and you say, what do you need from me? Like Brandy goes to her mother. What do you need? How do you see our relationship? What would you like this to be? So in other words, you just go and get information to understand the other person. Listen and then lead and say, okay, I can do this. I can't do that. This is what I would like, and this is what I'm going to do moving forward. So you're leading them to where you are and what you can handle. And they can either walk away, like the rich young man did, or they can move toward you and try to reestablish or redefine the relationship. So you listen to people and you lead them by setting your, you know, what you need and what you want and boundaries and consequences, and then you love them no matter what they do. And you see them as God sees them. And then you let go of the fact that you just got rejected, or it's, you're not going to have your own way, or it may take 10 years for this relationship to heal. All the things that you want so badly that are really good, you're probably not going to get. You know, and I'm at the tail end of my life compared to you young whippersnappers. And I'm really looking back and realizing, man, I wanted so many good things for myself and all my loved ones. And they don't happen. And that's okay. because we're not, this life isn't our whole end all and be all. It's our eternal life that matters. So keep your eye on eternity.
Beautiful. All right. Good way to end a note on for this next break. So when we come back, we'll get back to all of your calls on how to heal strained relationships right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Support for Catholic Answers Live comes from the Graduate School of Theology at Christendom College. Deepen your understanding of the Catholic faith through live online graduate courses taught with uncompromising fidelity to the Church's magisterium, from Christology and bioethics to Mariology and more. This summer, you can also attend the Institute for Liturgical Formation on campus. Begin your master's degree or earn a certificate at graduatetheology.com. That's graduatetheology.com.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
EWTN has launched new YouTube channels dedicated to what you love most. From EWTN News, Daily Mass and Devotions, EWTN Shows, Radio, Religious Catalog, and Kids, it's all part of our mission to help you grow closer to God through the programs that matter most to you. Visit our main YouTube channel and explore the new navigation bar and subscribe to the channels that speak to your heart. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, there's an EWTN YouTube channel made for you.
Welcome back. We're talking how to heal strained relationships with Rose Sweet. If you have a question, you can go ahead and give her a call, 888-318-7884. Is there anything else you want to add to that, or should we go back to calls?
You know, can I put a plug in for some good Catholic psychotherapists?
Please do.
CatholicPsych.com. All one word, CatholicPsych, P-S-Y-C-H.com. Dr. Greg Bataro and his team do wonderful work. Has he been on the show before?
He has. We've had him on a few times. Fantastic gentleman, that's for sure.
And they do a lot of good interior healing work. He has a wonderful podcast called Being Human. And the people over at Souls and Hearts, Dr. Peter Malinowski and Jerry Crete also. And all these men do lots of help people do the interior work that's necessary for healthy relationships. The relationship is never going to flourish until you go in and do your own interior work. It's just like, well, a woman going out on a date. She's not going to score with the guys out there unless she like cleans herself up and gets dressed well and looks well and speaks well and acts well. You know, it's all this work on yourself, and then you're ready for a relationship. Maybe a poor analogy, but...
No, because I think it's good to take a shower before you go on a date. That's probably a good idea.
That's exactly right.
And for the gentleman, trim the beard. Please trim the beard.
Okay, so we work on ourselves first mm-hmm. to be appropriate in healthy relationships.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that goes for anything. If you want to fix the world, you have to fix yourself. That's the first thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and good luck with that.
It's a lifelong goal, that's for sure.
It is. It totally is.
Good. All right. Let's keep going with the calls. We go over to Leslie in Ohio, who's listening on the St. Gabriel Radio, 820 AM. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much. So as I was listening, I think I've actually established what my question is or figured out through what you've said, what I'm struggling with, which is, I think it's resentment. I had a really bad relationship prior to my current marriage, and then I had a struggle in my current marriage, and I think I'm mm-hmm. holding resentment against my husband, but mm-hmm. I totally thought I forgave him. So I guess I just don't know how to get over this hump.
Well, you know, one of the things about resentment and forgiveness is we forget if the person is still letting us down or failing us, there's going to be more and more opportunities for forgiving and letting go. So if you have forgiven somebody for past offenses, good. But if they continue to offend you, you're going to have to go through the same process. Me, I learned the hard way is if this is a pattern, what am I doing that's helping it continue? And what can I do to stop it? Because I don't want to keep forgiving my husband or my father or my mother. So what can I do to change things up? So that's a good challenge. My challenge to you then, Leslie, is if there's a continual offense, how can you stop that and change that so that you don't have to keep letting go of your resentment? Does that make sense?
It does. And if I could clarify, I feel like he was manipulated, and that's why, I don't know if I'm trying to make a reasoning behind it, but I could see that what this person was doing was manipulation, and he didn't follow through with anything, and that was only this one time thing. So he hasn't continued to let me down, but I guess okay. I feel like I haven't let go of it.
Oh, okay, I might suggest that there's a part of you that holds a fear that it will happen again, because what happens with the offense, mm-hmm. trust is broken, and that needs to be reestablished. And that takes time sometimes and communication and effort to reestablish trust. But it's maybe the resentment is hanging on because the fear of it happening again. It's a protective mm-hmm. measure. I mean, we're so complex inside, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah. So, get curious. Go talk to him. Just make a nice dinner mm-hmm. and just have a good heart-to-heart talk and see what comes out.
Good, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you for your call. All right. From there, we go to Susan in Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Susan, thank you so much for your call. Go right ahead.
Yes. Mine is also towards my mom. My whole... Since I was a child, my mother had always told me, you know, that this house, our house is going to be yours because you're the girl, and I have two younger brothers. But in the process, a family friend died, and my mother didn't know what, you know, my mother got the house, and she said, well, I don't know what to do with the house. Do you want to live there? And I, you know, at the time, it was convenient. It was closer to her. So I said, okay. Well, then we moved. It was, you know, didn't fit our family as it grew. And then later when I spoke to my mom, you know, about being in her home, and she said, oh, no, I'm giving it to your brother. And I said, but Mom, you told me my whole life that this was going to be my home. She said, well, no, you got the other house. So, but I wasn't told that that was my inheritance, or that was, I was getting that house instead of, you know, the home we grew up in. And so my brother, you know, he got in trouble with the law. And so he has a hard time finding a job. He does have a job, but he was also given a house because he couldn't, he wouldn't be able to afford it based on what he can do. So I'm struggling right now because, okay, I lived up to my parents' expectations as part of it. And I was always told that that would be my house. And I just feel like my brother and, you know, kind of betrayed the family and is getting the house.
Okay.
But more of it is that I've been counting on it. I mean, of washing dishes at that kitchen window and that kind of thing.
So, okay. I know this is hurtful. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. And I bet a lot of people are thinking this right now, hearing your story. And thank you for being so vulnerable. Go to Scripture and read the story of the prodigal son. And you right now are feeling the role of the older brother who stayed at home, followed all the laws, did everything dad wanted, did all the right, you were the good little boy, good little girl. and the mess up kid is getting all the good stuff. Do you know the story of the prodigal son?
He didn't leave the church. He was still being on the outside the good son. And it wasn't until he got caught. This was like an alter life that he was having. But
Okay, here's the thing. In the story of the prodigal son, one of the sibling did not do good things and got a big reward. He got a ring, he got a fatted calf, he got a beautiful new robe. In other words, the father blessed the son who did not good stuff and wasn't the good one in that regard. And the one that had always done the right thing didn't get what he expected, what he hoped for. He was jealous. And this is where you are. I've been in the same position. My mother gave some really wonderful things to my sisters that I knew, she told me all my life I was supposed to get, and I never got them. So I've been through that. I've been through something similar. It hurts. It's not fair. But here in Southern California, we say the fair is in Pomona, because there is no fair in life. And it is painful. And you get to say, yes, it's painful. I hurt. I'm mad. But then you get about 2 minutes to do that. And then you have to say, but Lord, I trust you to satisfy my deepest needs. I trust you to take care of me. I trust you to reward me for my efforts. I trust you to console me. I trust you to bring justice in your own way. Because what we're doing, Susan, is we're looking to other people really to be God to us, to do the right thing so that we could be happy and secure and safe. And the world is not like that. And we really have to stop and look at where are my expectations unrealistic in this situation?
Susan, thank you for your call. Rose, I wanted to kind of hone in on one specific thing that you said, that I didn't come to realize this until years later, but I did, that the story of the prodigal son is very much about the older brother, or the brother that stuck around, just as much as it is about the brother that left with his inheritance and squandered it. And a lot of times, mm-hmm. especially us in the church who are now working through everything that we're working through, we start to feel like that person, which I'm sure Susan feels just like that brother that stuck around and doesn't get rewarded, kind of gets like the short end of the stick on that.
Right. And a lot of good spiritual directors have taught us that in that story, we are all at some time the son who squandered. We are the older brother, and we are the father. That we are supposed to love people and forgive your mother, forgive your brother, forgive everybody who's done in what you at least think is injustice to you, and to welcome them with open arms and love, without tolerating abuse, of course. Yeah,
absolutely. I want to get to try to get to one more caller, if you're okay with that, before the end of the hour.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, let's go over to Joseph in Nashville. Joseph, if you can be quick, we can get you an answer.
Of course, and thank you so much for taking my call. I'm not going to go into detail. You all know about something particularly large that has been happening in the Catholic Church politically today. And it got me thinking a lot, because I want to have these conversations with my family. I see it as a good opportunity to invite people to get closer to God. And yet bringing up specific political things is absolutely the third rail, right? And it's unfortunate, because I see that as a stumbling block to people growing closer to God. So when you're dealing with controversial things, essentially, should we try to do what the Pope has done, where he sort of sidesteps from calling things on their names specifically and tries to speak more generally to the truth of what's going on? Or do we at times actually have to be a little more bold and speak up?
Thank you, Joseph.
Like, what's best for the charity of the other person?
Okay, thank you, Joseph. Rose, you got about 1 minute to answer the heaviest question out there right now. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the thing. If your root desire, your core desire, is to help people get closer to God, you don't need to have it with a conversation laced with politics and potential problems and misunderstandings. It's a time bomb. There are other ways to help people get closer to God. You certainly can discuss it, but is it really worthy of discussion with the people today that you're discussing it with? We have to be very picky about who we talk about certain things with, because we trigger each other. We cause bad feelings. We cause rifts, separation, and even, you know, you try to have a conversation with some people today, you'll get cut off in your relationships. So don't go there.
Absolutely,
as
Joseph.
Mother Teresa said. Mother Teresa said it. Don't go there.
Absolutely. Joseph, thank you so much for your call, for being quick there. Rose, you got that done in, I think, 45 seconds. Good job.
Awesome.
All right. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Rose. Thank you so much for being. And I'm a little sad that you weren't here in the office, but hey, this is great.
I know. Next time I will. And forget that Psy guy, man. You're awesome.
All right. Let's send that clip over okay. to Psy when we're done here. All right.
No.
All right, Rose. Thank you so much. All right. Up next, we're going to have the one and only Tom Nash. If you have a question about the Mass, any question that you have, this is your man to ask. So give us a call, 888-318-7884.